You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is October 16th. It is time to study God's Word. Our guest pastor joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. Pastor Liebman, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio this morning. I always enjoy our time studying God's Word together here in the studio. Thanks for making the trip up this morning. How are things at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart?
Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart is popping. Last Friday night, we had the family fun night. Our Sunday school superintendent, Bev Kite, does a fantastic job of arranging and making things happen. And the youth leaders, Tyler and Katie Davis, assisted with preparation of food. And those two were always got some kind of a youth event going on. Sunday was the LWML Sunday, and the ladies did great, making the presence known and their service, made the church aware of their service. And right now, last night, my wife was over there with a whole bunch of people cutting up apples like crazy. They're getting ready to make the apple butter.
Oh.
And so today
is that season.
Oh, yeah. Right now, I think they're over at the church cooking and straining the apples. And so there's always a small army of people working on that. And then Saturday, they're going to get big black pots and put them over a campfire. And then we sit and stir all day long.
Oh, I bet that smells so good.
And on the 22nd of November, we're going to have a mission festival. And guess who's going to be there? Pastor Meissner. our pastor for 4 years has taken a call to the mission field, and so he's going to come back and address the congregation. And that will also be our 145th anniversary celebration.
Wow.
So that just gives you a brief idea as to how things are going at Emmanuel Barnhart.
Well, thanks be to God for all that's happening there. It sounds like a very busy, vibrant place that the Word of God is proclaimed there as the saints gather around the Word and go out into the community, and encouraging and supporting Pastor Meissner as he prepares and his family go to serve in Belize in the coming year. What an exciting time for them. Had a chance to talk with them not too long ago. Great conversation that's on faith and family in the archives on our website, learning about where they'll be surfing. I know they're still learning all the ins and outs of Belize and what their future community and life will be like there. So it's great to hear that Emmanuel is supporting him and learning about what adventures lie ahead for them as well.
So we're looking forward to having him come back. I know a lot of the people are looking forward to being able to visit with him.
Certainly, certainly. All right, well, we are studying Matthew chapter 13 today, verses 24 through 43. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to dig into this text? Looks like we have a parable or two ahead of us today.
Well, all the way through now, yesterday, with your guest, you discussed some parables. And it seems like Jesus is really trying to get across to the people, what is this kingdom of heaven? And one of the things I like to ask people is, where is this kingdom of heaven? And of course, everybody wants to point up. And then we can start asking, okay, where is a king a king? A king is a king where he rules. Does he rule in your heart? Yeah, well, that's the kingdom of heaven. Well,
we pray that in the catechism, thy kingdom come, right?
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's where the Word of God is taught and proclaimed and listened to. And this is as God takes charge, as he becomes our ruler, then we are the kingdom of heaven. It's the church.
Very good. We are studying Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43 today with Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org. All right, let's take a look at this first parable here, Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds in first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" All right. I know that we get to the explanation of this parable here further down in the text, so we probably won't dig in too much. We don't want to read too much into this until we get to the explanation. But let's take a look at some of these verses. He put another parable before them. Jesus teaches in parables. Why parables? Why does he use parables? Why are these so key in Jesus' teaching?
In the text that you looked at yesterday, he deals with that. The disciples ask him, "Lord, why are you doing this?" And he doesn't really answer them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he kind of talks around it. He says, "It is you are blessed because you get the explanation, but those guys out there don't get the explanation." From this, I deduce that what God is trying to do is to plant a seed in the hearts and the minds of the people that they will want to come to him and say, "Lord, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? How can we apply this?" And then this brings them in as his disciples. Because the disciples aren't just the 12. Mm-hmm. The disciples are a whole bunch of folks.
Mm-hmm. And at its simplest, we can go back to Isaiah 55:11. When God speaks, his word goes out, but it does not come back to him void. It goes out and accomplishes the purpose for which he sent it. When he speaks, whether we understand it or not. Now, it's great if we do understand it, all the more, right?
Absolutely. But if we don't understand it, then we can start asking questions. And then we get into the Bible and we start to wrestle with the word of God. And that's when we really learn.
All right. So the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Any thoughts about this before we get to the explanation?
Well, it was good seed. I mean, what do you expect from God? I mean, he's not going to sow bad seed.
True.
This is what he always does. Everything he does is good. And this is pointing always right back to him. He sowed it in the field. This is something that is important to him. His field is his, that's his thing. This is his where he operates and where he intends to bring back a profit as a farmer.
So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also, and the servants of the master of the house came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" There are weeds there. Master, how is it that there are weeds? I thought you only would sow good seed.
Isn't this what we ask every day? "Lord, I try so hard, I work so hard, and look what happened. It's all falling apart." Well, why is this happening, Lord? Why is that happening? We hear so many dissenters of the Christian faith asking, "Well, if he's a God of love, why does he let this happen?" You know, it's what goes on around us constantly, and it's always for the same reason. An enemy has come.
He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So an enemy has done this. Do you want us to go gather the weeds? No, because if you gather the weeds, you may also gather up the wheat as well. Wait until harvest. Then we'll gather, we'll reap everything, and we'll put the weeds in bundles to be burned, and the wheat in the barn.
This has always been a problem text for me because as I work as a pastor, I am called upon to exercise church discipline.
Mm.
And I have, to my shame, never exercised that last step, simply because I'm afraid when I root up the one, I'm liable to root up the whole family and take the wheat along with the tares.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm just very afraid of and afraid to exercise. And so this is the text I use to try to get away with it. This is something that, you know, we need to realize. It's a problem in the churches is how to deal with delinquents, how to deal with people who are unrepentant sinners, at the same time not destroy the rest of the congregation.
Well, I know we'll probably get into that a little bit more when we get to the explanation of the parable here. Let's take a look at the next. Anything else before we go on to the next few verses?
Well, the idea of the enemy did this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a better way to describe the devil.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the mustard seed and the leaven, the next parable, verses 31 through 33. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." All right, so a mustard seed, leaven. This parable of the mustard seed. "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field."
The seed is small. Mm-hmm. This, Jesus makes the point of that. He even calls it the smallest of all seeds. But it grows. It grows and it becomes huge. And this is what faith does in us. It starts out so small, but as it grows, it becomes a prominent thing in our life. And then the leaven is something that it goes throughout the whole lump, throughout the whole dough. It affects every part of it. So faith affects all of our lives. You cannot have faith without your whole life being affected by that relationship with God. We think we have to do it. This is natural in the heart of man. It's always what I do affects my life. But when we let go of that, faith comes in. It's no longer my work. It's simply my life in Christ. It is just a natural thing that comes forth. It's not that I have to do these good works. It's just that God is doing the good works through me.
So like the seed, something that seems so little or so insignificant, just as the leaven as well, the here in this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour. She put the leaven, probably yeast, or that's one example of leaven, in the flour. Till it was all leavened, till it was all raised, just as this seed that seems so insignificant, the smallest of all seeds, grows into a giant plant, a tree, basically, in the garden, where birds can make nests in its branches. Something that seems so insignificant, so tiny, yet can grow into something significant that makes a difference not only for oneself, but for others.
I found it interesting that he says that small mustard seed grows into a large plant where the birds of heaven come to. I mean, in the Greek, it uses the word uranos, heaven.
Oh, yeah, birds of the air, birds of heaven. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think, okay, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and here are these birds of heaven. Could he be talking about the rest of the kingdom?
Hmm.
You know, and how the rest of the kingdom is
sure.
benefited then from the faith of starting out so small.
I never caught that before. I don't look at the Greek enough. I don't read it straight from the Greek, but you're absolutely right. Urano there. And looking at the literal translation, it translates it that way as well. The birds of the heaven do come and rest in its branches. Hmm. Well, anything else up through verse 33 before we go to our break?
I think that'll cover it.
All right. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri today. We're in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43. If you have a question or a comment, We'd be glad to take a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
The Lutheran Study Bible you know and love is now available in a compact paperback edition. Weighing in at a slim 2.1 pounds, the newest edition is a compact powerhouse, the same great content of the original Lutheran Study Bible. It's a perfect fit for gift-giving, outreach, youth ministry, and more. The Lutheran Study Bible paperback edition, available at cph.org. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. cph.org.
Sing for Joy is a program that wants you to experience music's gift for interpreting words. The best of the church's music is not mere decoration. It is demonstration or spiritual exploration of the meaning of the word. Join us and be enriched.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading. Coming up in just a little over 20 minutes, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. Right now, we are studying with Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43. And if you have a question or a comment, send us an email or give us a phone call, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor Liebman, are we ready to go on to a prophecy and parables?
Absolutely.
All right. Verse 34. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So this goes back to what we started off with. Why Jesus teaches in parables? Well, it was prophesied about him.
It was prophesied, and he's fulfilling it. He's carrying out the Father's will all the way through his life.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's doing is he is stimulating interest with these parables. He's taking something that these people are familiar with in their day-to-day life and then is able to make a beautiful application that applies to their life with God.
I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. What is that is hidden?
What is hidden is really the understanding of who is God and what is God. You see the children of Israel at the foot of Sinai. They were terrified. What were they terrified? The thunder, the lightning. But did they really comprehend that with that thunder and lightning is also the tender mercy and love of God and the forgiveness that God gives? They really did not know him.
Speaking about prophecy here, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Regarding prophecy, Well, let's look at time, because prophecy is revealed in time. How do we regard time? How does God regard time?
You're getting into my sermon for Sunday.
Oh, well, there you go, Emmanuel. You folks at Emmanuel Barnhart, you're going to get a preview of the sermon here.
Okay. We tend to look at things calendarized.
Absolutely. We were just talking about this before the program, how we are so focused on
time.
In radio, yeah. Time is everything.
But God lives outside of time, before time, after time. He's in eternity. And he doesn't depend on, I have to make this happen according to time. Yet the scriptures say, when the time was right, he sent his son into the world. But the epistle lesson for this Sunday talks about how everything was completed on the sixth day. His work was finished. Well, his work wasn't finished until Christ died on the cross. Okay? So in eternity, he has already experienced that death on the cross. Okay? He talks about the children of Israel at the foot of Sinai. He talks about David. He talks about the cross. He talks about the seventh day of creation from the foundation of the world. He's taking all these things and pushing them together and calling them his rest. You get into time, we're hung up on time.
We're locked into looking at things in a linear way, in a linear fashion. Aren't we?
Absolutely. When I study history, the first thing I do is make a timeline. Now, how do these things fit into, that's not the way God functions.
Well, it's part of the order and structure that he's created for us in this life. But if we get so locked into viewing things only in a linear order, we may miss out on understanding the fullness of the big picture, I guess, is the way I'm trying to say here. So when this was spoken, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. There certainly is this element of time, this linear understanding, but there's also this, when you step back and look at it at the big picture and see everything, it seems to make a little more sense. And if we don't get hung up on the time factor.
Yeah, the chronology.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Anything else in verses 34 and 35 before we get into this parable of the weeds being explained?
I think we need to get into it.
All right, here we go. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So he left the crowds, went into the house, and his disciples said, "Explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field."
What are you talking about? Okay. He's got seven different characters in this parable, seven participants. And so Jesus goes through item by item with each of the seven. The field, he says, is the world. Now, he's the creator of the world. The world is something very special to him. John 3 tells us, "And he, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And so he takes care of it. He has planted good seed. But in his field, there is both good and bad growing together. This is something that we experience in the world. This is something we experience in our life. Both draw needs from the soil. God cares for both the good and the bad. Whether they're Christian or non-Christian, God still sends rain, he still sends sunshine, he still gives them air to breathe. And very often it's hard to tell the difference between the darnel, the bad seed, and the good seed, the wheat. But these are what we have. The next character, the good seed. These are sons of the kingdom, what we call Christians. They're what are in the parable the wheat. Both good and bad bear fruit. The good to God's glory, the bad to the destruction of God's creation. The master cares for the good plants. The wheat he gathers into his barn. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. and this is what we have to look forward to. The third character, the third participant here, is the weeds, sons of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who don't believe. They hear, but it doesn't take root. It doesn't do them any good. It goes in one ear and out the other. They do not produce any good product. Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit. And this is how we tend to evaluate one another, is how do we live? But it's hard to separate the bad weeds from the good. But the bad will be burned at the close of the age. All causes of sin and all lawbreakers are to be burned. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not a nice place. This is not where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is very real for us in our lives as we look forward to what we deserve. We deserved that, but because of Christ, we are delivered from that.
I think what's significant here, one thing that's significant, is that the weeds are sown right along with the wheat. The bad seeds sown right in with the good seeds. The evil one came and sowed them right along with them, but the master allows the bad seed to grow right alongside, not taking it out. That the good seed and the bad seed grow side by side.
In that example, the good seed are not going to change the bad seed. Okay? But in life, the Christians are growing up alongside people who are unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can influence a change by the grace of God through the working of the Holy Spirit as we share God's word with them. This is an area where the parable kind of breaks down a little bit, but we know that we still can have an effect on our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. That harvest, the end of the age. This comes back to when we're thinking about everything in a linear term and thinking of time and the end of time. The harvest is the end of the age.
Okay, the end of the age, another translation could be the end of time. Okay, when does your time end? When your body ceases to function.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul and the body are separated. And so there's the judgment. That's the end of the age. This is where we go to heaven, we go to hell, depending on not what we've done in the world, but how we have Christ, how we believe and trust in Him. The end of the age, my last hour, that's it. The end of the age, the end of time, when I go to be with the Lord.
The reapers are angels. The reapers are, is this messengers? Yes, the reapers are the messengers.
Right, that's what angel means. It's mm-hmm. It's either the message or the messenger,
mm-hmm.
and that's what God sends them to do. They are the ones who carry out God's will. The interesting thing is they do so without sin. You know, mankind comes into the world full of sin. The angels, the good angels, do not. The bad angels, they somehow were able to get through that before sin entered the world. That seemed to be the time at which evil entered.
Mm.
You know, was when Satan led his angels into rebellion against God, and then brought it into the world through tempting Eve and Adam. But these angels are the messenger, are the reapers. They're the ones who gather them up. We think of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus, the angel of the Lord came and took him.
Mm-hmm.
But the rich man, he died and went to hell, period.
Hmm. just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. It's going to wipe out sin at the, it says, at the end of the age.
Yes, at the end of the age, when we enter paradise, we will no longer have a sinful nature. All sin in us will be totally eliminated. We will be holy in every regard. Luther's comment about how we are in this world, sinner and saint simultaneously, yet then we will be saint, totally, without any of that pollution from the sin.
In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, that the fiery furnace where all the sin, the causes of sin and lawbreakers, all those lawbreakers are thrown, the fiery furnace where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
In Matthew's gospel, John the Baptist is preaching, and he says, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. The grain he will gather into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. As I studied that in the Greek, I came across something that really shocked me. And that is, in the Greek, it says unquenchable fire. The word for unquenchable is asbestos. And I'm like, can't be. Asbestos is fireproof. How can it be an asbestos fire? So I went to a chemistry teacher and I asked him, you know, what is this asbestos? And he told me it does burn, but it has a kindling point of 5,000 degrees. Now, I'm affiliated with the fire department, and I know that a house fire rarely exceeds 2,000 degrees. So then this asbestos fire is going to be 2.5 times hotter. So there will be gnashing of teeth. You know, the other thing that he told me, asbestos burns with a black flame. I thought, now that sounds spooky. What do you mean, a black flame? He says it doesn't give off any light. Oh, a light went on in my head. I often wondered why the devil, hell, is called the kingdom of darkness with all that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I know. It burns with a black flame. It's totally dark down there. So these people who say, when I get to hell, I'm going to have a good time because all my buddies are going to be down there. No, you won't. Because you won't even be able to see your buddies. The only thing you're going to be able to concentrate on is the pain that you're experiencing, because a fire, a burn, is the most, to my understanding, a burn is the most painful injury we can sustain. And here you are in this 5,000 degree heat when time stops. Eternity, forever and ever. That's not a nice place to be. I shared with my congregation, and we kind of came to the decision in a Bible study that if we could experience just 5 seconds of hell, we'd spend the rest of our lives on our knees thanking God for delivering us from such a place.
Well, isn't that, wasn't that one of the tactics of John Tetzel to raise funds for the church? Didn't he, aren't there stories of him putting his hand through a fire and burning his flesh just to give the image of what hell would be like?
Yeah, it's a scary thought, isn't it?
Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The righteous will shine like the sun.
God tells us that when we enter paradise, we will share in his glory. And all through the New Testament, it talks about the glory of God being this great light. The Mount of Transfiguration, he shone, and we will share in that glory.
With just about a half a minute left, he who has ears, let him hear.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I wish we could all hear, all listen to what God has to tell us.
Well, what a great study. Thank you for helping us work through these parables today and look at Matthew chapter 13. Pastor, thanks for being our guest pastor here today on His Time.
Thank you for inviting me. I thoroughly enjoy these sessions.
Same here. I always enjoy it as well. God bless you and all the saints at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.